We are, as I said, we're concluding a seven-week series on how God's Spirit guides us, and it's been a fun journey. And tonight, it's kind of a hybrid between a summary conclusion and a seventh way that God's Spirit guides us. Now, we have seen seven radically different. These are not all the ways God's Spirit guides us, and in fact, that was one of the premises that we started with, is that you cannot put God in a box. And so no one should ever be able to say that they have God completely figured out, and they know all of those ways, and they've exhausted everything that there is to know about God. Clearly, these are just seven radically different ways that God's Spirit guides us. And we started in the book of Acts. We've used Acts as our kind of guide through this. We started in Acts chapter 10, and we saw the very first thing was the vision and voices method. And in Acts chapter 11, we actually see three of these different methods. God's Spirit gave Peter and Cornelius this vision that synced them up, and they heard a voice, and he guided them that way. We also see how God's Spirit guided them, those early believers, when they were spreading because of persecution. They preached the gospel wherever they went, and as they did, the gospel and the church of God grew, and that was actually, in fact, how the outreach of the church focused shifted from Jerusalem to Antioch. And then we also saw with Agabus, the listen to a prophet method. We also in Acts chapter 11 at the end, and we also saw in Acts chapter 15 the most common of all things, the have a meeting method. Yes, God, it can be more than death by meeting, because God can transform that and lead us. Acts chapter 15 said it seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit, and we ought to send this out. And so there was this kind of way that God led them through having a meeting. We also saw that disturbing method. I call it God's divine steering. You could call it the blocking method, where Paul is on a perfectly good missionary journey, and then all of a sudden, twice, the Spirit blocks Paul from going into an area where the gospel's never been preached. He diverts around, and he ends up in Troas, where he receives a vision to go to Macedonia. But he's in Troas because the Spirit prevented him from going into different regions. And then last week, we looked at Acts chapter 17, where we looked at the ruined heart method. This is the place where God is in, God was there in Athens too, but Paul was in Athens, and his heart was broken over the idolatry of the city, and he goes into the synagogue and the marketplace to preach the gospel, and then he's invited into the university and the place of that day, and he continues to reason with those philosophers and the intelligentsia of the day. So tonight we come, all of those different methods highlight a couple of things. What can we learn as we kind of look in a panoramic way about all the different ways that God's Spirit guides? First of all, just want to mention, as I just said, that you can't put God in a box. He is sovereign. In fact, I believe that as soon as we feel like we've got God and His guidance perfectly figured out, sometimes he'll change it on us just to keep us dependent on him. I know I used to think that the only way God led me was through his peace. This is how it's my own internal kind of self-talk with me and the Lord. Like, I always sought for the peace of something. But I want to tell you that God, through the years, I have not had a peace about some things, and look back over time and realize God was guiding me through something. And I didn't make that decision based upon a peace that I had. In fact, sometimes it was just the obvious thing to do. Many times, as some of you are probably in routine meetings, or maybe you're making just family decisions, and this is just the right thing to do. You realize that because God has given us a common sense, especially when we looked at the do what's obvious method, that God's given us a brain. We shouldn't check our brains at the door. We can use our brains. And you know what? This is the wisest thing to do. And God can use that sometimes. I didn't necessarily feel a particular peace about it. It's just the obvious thing to do. And as a son or daughter of God, as we walk with the Lord, He guides us into those things. And you know, we also talked about this. Why? Why does God's Spirit guide us? What makes Him the kind of God in the other, this whole, you know, list of world religions? What makes God unique in that He guides us? And we looked at it about halfway through that great passage in Romans chapter 8, that God is for us and not against us. He loves us. So His will is not something that He hides from us, that like some cat and mouse game and you've got to find it or anything. No, He is for us and not against us. He wants to show us His will. So the way that we can remember this is by talking about it really in three different ways. I read a story several weeks ago about this old harbor in Italy. This has been several hundred years ago. In fact, they still do this nowadays. But there was this old harbor in Italy when it was a very narrow channel that they had to kind of navigate to get into this harbor. And there were three posts. There was one that was out in the water just at the edge of the entrance point to this harbor and where the inlet was. And then there was one at the edge of the land, right at the coast. And then there was another post inland several miles. And when the ships were approaching this harbor, the idea was to have all three of these posts aligned perfectly, and then you knew as a ship that you were right in perfect alignment. Now, as you can picture in your mind, and maybe you've seen some of these in modern-day shipping, you know, a lot of times they'll even have lights, you know. I've seen it before where there have been a green light, red light, and red light, and what you want to do is you want to line them up to where you only see the green light. Sometimes in channels, you stay on the right of the green, you stay out of the red, and all those kind of things. But the point here is that there were these three posts, one in the water at the coast and then inland, that you had to keep aligned. And if one got out of sync, then you knew you were not in perfect alignment. And so the idea is that you keep all three of those posts in line to guide the ship right in to the harbor. And I kind of look at this as a great analogy because in these different ways that we've looked at how God's Spirit guides us, I personally see three different categories, if you would, of ways that God's Spirit guides us. The first way God's Spirit guides us, the three ways are the head, the heart, and the hands. Head, heart, and hands. When we talk about God's Spirit guiding us with our head, we think about the things that are like the normal things that you ought to do. These things are assumed. This is why we didn't talk about them. Some of these things are assumed, but perhaps we shouldn't do that. But there should always be time when you're approaching a decision or, you know, what should I do? And there should be time for prayer. There should be time for what we know is God's will for our life, and that is His Word. So we spend time talking about the Scriptures. We know because, of course, in Christ and what He did on the cross, that God is for us, not against us. And so we know that through His Word and through His Son Jesus, and now through the empowerment of the Spirit, that He does have an incredible love for us to guide us and to get us where He wants us to go. And if we stay submitted to Him in those things, that He'll get us there. But we have to know that in our head, that first of all, we don't ignore some of these things. So there are the obvious things, there are the scriptural things. You want to make sure what you're doing is scriptural. There are also the things that you know God might be just absolutely closing a door on. So you know what? You know that. You know that a door is closed. If anyone in here, like me, I have before, you know, you go to a normal day at work, you think everything's great, and then all of a sudden you realize your job's being terminated that day, and you're like, well, I didn't see that coming. Well, that it's clearly something that you know, and you have to deal with that. You know, there are also things like we talked about last week about calling. So not just calling into the ministry. I believe every calling is important to God. And so these are things that you know. That's the head. But then you have the heart. And we have probably all heard this before, but the understanding, especially the Hebrew understanding of the word heart, really encompasses the whole person. It's your seat of emotions. It's the place where all the decisions are worked out. So those things, I mean, God in fact calls us in Deuteronomy, one of those great passages, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and strength. And of course, Jesus amplifies that and expands it in Matthew chapter 22 when he adds mine, which is clearly there. And he says this is the greatest of all things, along with loving your neighbor. So we looked at last week the ruined heart method. What is it that wrecks heaven and wrecks you? And whatever that is a good indication of where God has led you. What is it that grieves God and yet it grieves you in a special, unique way? There are other things where you, after you walk with the Lord for a while, and many of you probably understand this, there's just that intuitive, I kind of call it, I look at it as God's spirit just guiding us, but there's that intuitive nudge. There are some things that I hear from people, from neighbors. There are things that I hear from people that I always sense sometimes, man, I'll hear someone say something and I just feel that nudge. I particularly feel it a lot about praying for people. And I've been trying to make it my practice lately just to stop and not make prayer something weird that you do, but it's something that you do normally. So you know what? Let's just join hands right now and pray. And there's nothing weird about that. Especially, I find this, if you're not willing enough to and open enough to pray with another brother or sister in Christ about something on the spot when a need presents itself, most likely we're never going to step over that kind of barrier and to do that with folks that don't know Christ. But I want to tell you that offering to pray and truly praying for someone who does not know Christ and praying for a need that's big in their life is a great witness. It really is a fantastic witness. Other things, so that's the heart. There's that internal nudge. We talked earlier about the peace. God doesn't always lead us through that way. But oftentimes we pray for the peace that surpasses what? All understanding, yes. And then we also look at the hand. That is the thing, the skills that God has given you. There's a little Napoleon there for you, skills. But the abilities, the opportunities. Sometimes we feel things in our head, we know them in our head, we feel them in our hearts, but God has not given us the opportunity or the skill set to do those things. And you know what? That's probably not God's will in that moment. Sometimes we don't have an opportunity, and so it's not God's will because there's not an opportunity. There's nothing in front of you to engage in that moment. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that what you have in your head and what you have in your heart is not God's will in that moment, but just that the opportunity is not there yet. And so the ideal thing is that we have all three of these components in alignment. All three of these components in alignment. Just like that ship was sailing into the harbor and you keep all three of those posts in direct alignment. Now, when your head is there and you know something and your heart has a stirring for it, and then you also have an opportunity or there's something in your hands, skills and abilities, and you have the means by which to fulfill this great burden on your heart, that's when you know, Lord, you are up to something. The reason why we did this series is because I've just been burdened about this practical, like, how is it that God's Spirit guides us? Because He guides so many of us in different ways. But yet, if we look carefully through the Scriptures, we see God doing this through the people of God in Scriptures, especially here in Acts. So when we think about these three different ways, I want to encourage you. In fact, I want to challenge you to, first of all, pray for God's guidance. I want to encourage you that if you haven't felt that nudge before, maybe it's been a long time since you felt that guidance into something, I want to encourage you not to give up. You know, to maybe start asking the Lord, Lord, where are you guiding me? Maybe it's in a relationship with a neighbor. Maybe it's with a coworker that you've been making inroads. Just be sensitive to that nudge. And I also want to encourage you with this, that a lot of times people step back from that kind of engaged life in the marketplace. Last week when we looked at Paul's ruined heart, we noticed that it propelled him not just he was ruined, his heart was ruined, but it propelled him into society, into the synagogue. That is the normal space, you know, that maybe you would, with he engaged with other Jewish people. But then he took it into the marketplace. But then that third place that he went into was a significant place. Now I encourage you with this. I heard someone say this the other day. Faith is a four-letter word. It's spelled R-I-S-K. R-I-S-K. In the context of this talk, it would probably just be appropriate to say that God's Spirit not only wants to guide us, but He also wants to fill us and baptize us. And I like this analogy of the baptism of the Spirit. We know at the moment of conversion that God's Spirit indwells us. He's in us. Imagine like a little cup, and you pour it full with water. I believe that's a great picture of what happens at the moment of salvation, that God's Spirit completely fills us. He indwells us. But then there's this other experience, this baptism of the Spirit, where we are literally immersed in the Spirit for the purpose, for the primary purpose of God using us and maximizing our witness in a world that doesn't know Him. So it's like taking that cup and dunking it in a pool of water. So yes, it is full at the moment of salvation, but God's Spirit wants to completely baptize you, or Jesus wants to baptize you in the Spirit so that you can effectively and maximize your witness in a world. And a lot of times, though, I find that people are not taking risk any longer. They've stopped sharing their faith. They're not engaging in spiritual conversation with other people. They've become so complacent that there's no need for faith in their life anymore. Finances are good. And I want to tell you, that is a dangerous place for all of us to be. Where we see the gospel expanding the most over in the world are places that are encountering kinds of persecution. For example, I think about what's happening right now, the great move of God in Cuba. You know, it's illegal to have conduct a church service publicly in Cuba right now. And in fact, what the government meant for harm, God has actually led them. There are over 10,000 house churches right now in Cuba. It is spreading like crazy. And it was all because, you know, someone at first said, no, it's got to be done with this. And it's driven these believers into their homes to have house churches. Now, they're small, but I was just told by a missionary this past week at district council that there are 10,000 churches. And I haven't done the count lately, but that's a lot of churches. I'm not sure how many churches we have in the States, but 10,000 communities of faith in Cuba for the land size. I mean, that is a lot. And God is doing a miraculous thing right there. Just think it's interesting how to take a look at a concrete example like that and think about things that we've talked about, like the do what's obvious method, to follow what's in your head, what God has put in those believers' hands in their homes, and of course how God has challenged so many of them. Those pastors grieve their heart over what's going on, and yet God's work is expanding in ways that we never thought. You know what? Never put God in a box. Don't be afraid to step out. Faith is that four-letter word, R-I-S-K. Take a risk. Expand your comfort zone. Step over those lines sometimes. Trust God for His Spirit to guide you. This has been a great series. I want to just kind of close in a word of prayer. And maybe you're here tonight and you're facing some kind of decision. Maybe it's a decision that you're not really sure exactly what to do. Well, I believe God, as we have studied and seen over the past several weeks, can guide you into what is right, into what is true. And if we stay submitted to Him, His Spirit can get us where He wants us. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's just tell the Lord, just for the next couple of minutes, just we give our hearts to Him and we submit our wills to Him. We thank you, Lord, that you guide us, that you are for us and not against us. I thank you, Father, that for those who are here, Lord, who are facing difficult situations, as we have looked at over the past couple of weeks, ways in which we know things in our head to be right, ways in which we know and feel things in our heart, we're ruined, we're wrecked over them. And Lord, those opportunities and skills and abilities that you've given us in our hands, I just pray, oh Lord, in the next weeks, months ahead, that Lord, we would see those poles, so to speak, aligning, and that we would see clearly, Lord, your will for our lives. May that be kind of an internal guide for every single one of us, not just to keep for ourselves, but to help others understand your will for our lives and your will for to help others in discovering your will for their lives. Just give our hearts to you now, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, that by your grace, we think about how, Lord, you are for us and our lives are hidden in Christ, Jesus our Lord. We think about how you love us enough not to leave us that way. And so your Spirit does. It not only guides us into things that we desire and that match your desires, but also it leads us into being transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus. And Father, I thank you for opportunities. We even thank you for trials, for things, Lord, that test our faith, for things that prune us, Lord. And we realize, Lord, as even Hebrews said, that you discipline those you love, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we are sons and daughters that you love. And so, Lord, we receive, Lord, we receive that grace and that love tonight. And Lord, we just, for those that have experienced confusion or are presently going through it because of whatever, Father, we just suspend that in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us see that clear picture of you guiding us, that clear picture of your Spirit, Lord, when those three aspects align, Lord. I pray that you'd help us see that. I pray that we would set aside anything that would distract us. We'd set aside any sin that's entangling us. And Lord, we would place our total trust and faith in you, Lord, especially as we step out, Lord, as Paul did in those three different arenas. Lord, that we would step out in faith. And yes, it involves risk, Lord. But Father, we want to be those kinds of believers that are empowered by your Spirit to make a difference, Lord. We don't have to have it all figured out, but Father, we can trust you to give us the words to say, Lord, the right places to go, and we just trust you, Lord, that your plan for our lives is so incredible, Lord, and we just trust and bask, Lord, in that wonderful sense that you are guiding us into all things that, Lord, are true and righteous, Lord. You guide the steps of the righteous. You order our steps, O Lord. And so now we walk in that. We trust and we keep our lives and our hearts submitted to you. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for loving us. I pray, Lord, as we leave tonight, that we would live that kind of life that you've called us to live. We praise you for it, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.